given you and I to be in His house, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are a privileged people. We are. We are a privileged people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a nice hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. You may have to move around a little bit, but why don't you shake hands with somebody tonight? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Play that some more if you will. If you will, just let's stand just for a few minutes. We got just a very few prayer requests tonight. There was a lady called this today from Canada. Her daughter, Sister Stephanie, from Canada. She's an anemic and suffering from liver failure. And she said, I know that God answers your prayers there in Tennessee. And she just said, please remember my daughter in prayer. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that God would just be mindful of that situation. Sister Cheryl Howard sends this in after being admitted to the hospital. The doctors told me all the medications that I was going to be on. God answered the prayers of the saints, and I was released from the chest pain center with no symptoms. Thank you for your prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Baker wants to give this testimony. He wants to thank the Lord for answering prayer on Wednesday night. As Brother Andrew Glover and the saints prayed for him, God came and restored my joy, helped me in other areas of my life. Praise be to God. So we thank the Lord for that tonight. I want to pray for Sister Tina English. She isn't feeling well. Also, Brother Barry English is in the Sycamore Shoals Hospital. He had emergency surgery over the weekend and request prayer. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Laura Krause says, please pray for Sally McClanahan, who lost her husband and best friend. The days ahead, we know, will be difficult, but we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to help her during this time that she's going through. Well, we're serving a present day God, aren't we? He's a present help in time of trouble. Do you believe that tonight? If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we just commit these things unto the Lord. Brother Pat, why don't you come tonight? Let's pray over these needs. Let's join our brother in prayer. Invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Amen, Brother Pat. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our hearts. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly come, Lord. We ask God that you'd Forgive us of anything we've fallen short, Lord, any sin, any iniquity, Lord. Would you cleanse us, Lord. You may hear our prayer, Lord. These ones, Lord, that were mentioned, Lord, you know each and every one of them before they were even written down on this piece of paper, Lord. For that account was settled long ago, Lord, when you bled for us and died for our healing, Lord, for the praise reports, Lord Jesus, Lord, for the bride of Christ, Lord, all four corners of the world, Lord, that should minister to her, Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, to stay in step, Lord, and to focus upon you, Lord Jesus, and hold that vision of a rapture out in front of us and walk towards it, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus, for the songs and the ministry tonight. Bless our brother as he comes and breaks the bread with us, Lord Jesus, and the word, Lord. We love you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ's name we ask this. Amen.
Madly in service with us tonight, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Also up here tonight, for the first time in a long time, getting to be in the service, Brother Sam Clark. God bless Brother Sam Clark tonight. Amen. Sam, God bless you. We're glad to have you here. Just long for the day when Sister Gail can be back in the house of the Lord with us. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're fixing to have some church here tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Isn't God good to us? Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Brethren, see if you can find that song, Just a Little While to Stay Here. I believe our days here are numbered, don't you? I'm excited about leaving too. How about you? Are you excited about it tonight? Are you looking forward to going to heaven? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, God's just good to us tonight. Let's sing this song, if you will. Just a little while to stay here. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trust. In this slow and sinful state, and we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrim age will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly choir of angels. What we heard here Wednesday night, we had all to be in revival tonight, hadn't we? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord, Brother Andrew Glover brought? It's just a tremendous, tremendous message. And I believe, Brother West, the Lord's just going to use our brother tonight. Brother Darrell going to be speaking for us in the morning. We've got a lot to look forward to, don't we? Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, I pray it would be a blessing to those folks as well. Well, we're just recruiting ushers right and left, aren't we? That's all right, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, we're going to get out of here. Are you looking forward to it? We've got benefits that's absolutely out of this world. Your retirement package, you've never had it so good in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him tonight. Oh, some glad morning when this life is over. You tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. Sister Deanna Glenn, if you'll come, give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. And well, we're just going to have a good time here tonight. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to be in church. What a privilege it is to get to come to church to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Enjoy our song tonight. Thank you.
testing.
Yes.
if you will. It's time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to hearing Brother Wes Willis speak for us tonight. We're going to pray for our brother, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little song tonight. There are some people who cannot tell whether this old time salvation is real or not. But I'm going to tell you something. It's still real. God is still real. His power is still real. The only thing that limits God is you and me. We limit God. He is just as powerful as he ever has been. Do you believe that tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Sing that tonight. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
God bless you all. Is this working right and everything? Okay. God bless you all. I got all stirred up back there before I come out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me get my jacket off. We're supposed to wear these till we walk out. And then we're allowed to take them off. So. God bless you, brother. If you will, turn in the scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Thank you, brother. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm overwhelmed by your grace and your mercy towards us, Lord. I'm overwhelmed by the power of revelation when it strikes this word. It's a thing that can change a life forever. It can make us understand and see you better, Lord, and help us to grow and be stronger Christians and better Christians. And Lord, tonight, I ask that by the foolishness of preaching, the way that you chose to bring your word to the people, Lord, one of the ways you chose, I ask that you set me aside and have full control over these lips, Lord. I ask you to take this vessel, in spite of my flesh, Lord, I ask you to take this vessel and speak to your children and help them. Let this not be a futile time where we come out of habit or out of, you know, just or just out of tradition. But Lord, let it be a time where we come to meet our holy God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this. This is precious because we know that someday this may be taken from us, this freedom to come together and worship you with our whole heart. I ask you to break any bonds, Lord, of the people tonight that might keep them from worshiping freely, that might keep us from getting closer to you. And I ask, Lord, that most of all, you not let one person leave here worse than they came in. We ask all these things in the name of the precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I was a little choppy when I came out. I was a little overwhelmed. It wasn't from being nervous, though. It might seem that way, but actually I'm not that nervous. I'm really overjoyed right now.
Praise the Lord.
It's such a precious time when we come together to worship. I actually tend to be a little bit grumbly and sore-headed a lot of times when I'm not at church, because I'm looking forward to the time when I can come here and be free and actually be myself. This world tries so hard to constrict us. And, you know, the foolishness of preaching is just wonderful to me. The way the Lord chose to bring his word to us is amazing. I was sitting right over there when I was delivered from a demon the first time I came here to this church to be baptized. And I know the power of the word when revelation strikes it. There's nothing that can stop it.
Amen.
To the believer, it's everything. To the believer, that there is nothing more beautiful and nothing that we anticipate more than to hear our God speak to us.
Amen.
And we come with anticipation. And we come expecting. We actually come expecting. And to somebody who's not a believer and they're caught in the tide of tradition and family or whatever just happens to drag them through the door, to them it must seem so hard. And it must seem so boring. Because, you know, like Noah. You know, Noah had one sermon. And I was thinking about this. The Lord gave me this right before I came in here tonight. And I better hear you shout, "Well, glory," at least once. But the Lord gave me this right before I came in. I was thinking about Noah, and I was thinking the foolishness of preaching, how foolish he must have seemed in the age that he lived in. You know, we know they weren't walking around in animal skins with clubs over their shoulders. We know that that's not true. We know that it was an age not much unlike our own, where they understood the sciences, and they were developed in their minds, and they weren't stupid people. And these, you know, Noah had this one sermon. And it wasn't just his family that came to his church all the time. There was a time when more came. There was a time where a husband went home to his wife and he said, "Honey, I've been listening to this man and I think you need to come hear him. He's been talking about how there's going to be rain fall down from the sky and the earth's going to be flooded. How God is unhappy with the way the world is going. And there's just something that tells me he might be right. I'm not sure what it is, but I think he may be right." And she goes, "Well, okay, I'll go if you want me to go." And after a few years go by, They're on their way to church. And the man says, you know, I really didn't feel like going today. Do you? She goes, well, not really. What do you think he'll preach today? Well, let me tell you. First thing he's going to do is he's going to tell me not to cut my hair. Then he's going to tell me that I'm supposed to not wear pants and I'm supposed to wear skirts. And then he's going to talk about all the evils of this age. And then he's going to say, it's going to rain. I don't even know why we need to bother to go. Not even sure what the reason is for going. And the man goes, yep, I know what you mean. He's going to tell me not to wear shorts, not to smoke, not to drink, you know, that no cigarette suckers are going to walk the streets of heaven. And he's going to go down that, and it's going to be the same old thing, and then he's going to say it's going to rain. Well, but if we don't go, what happens? Well, I don't know. It's been the same old thing all the time. Surely to goodness, God is smarter than this. If there's a God, surely he's smarter than this. There's got to be more to it than that it's going to rain. But they make their way onto the church and they sit down. And Noah comes out and he blasts everything that they said. And they're getting madder and they're getting madder and they're getting more upset. And they're just sitting there and like, yeah, and they're poking each other. See, I told you, here he goes again. Here he goes again, same old thing. But Noah does something different this morning. He goes, the Lord put it on my heart to see if anybody's got something on their heart. Is there anybody who would stand and say something right now? Who has a testimony? Japheth goes, Daddy, I got something I'd like to say. And he stands to his feet. He says, I was getting discouraged. I was getting run down. I was feeling pretty bad. I've been out there working on the ark, and I was hammering away, and I busted my thumb wide open, and I danced around, and I fought it as hard as I could, and I managed not to say anything I shouldn't have. I wrapped it up, and I got back to work. A few minutes later, I was swinging away, and I hit the same thumb again. I just about did a backflip. I was so discouraged. Sweat was dripping off the end of my nose. I was so upset and so discouraged. About that time, some of my friends came by, and they were heading down to the movie theater, and they wanted me to go with them. There was a new action flick out, and their favorite actress was supposed to be naked in it, and they just wanted to go see it, and they wanted me to go with them. And I was so discouraged because I was tempted to go. I was tempted to go, and I just barely managed to avoid the temptation. And I kept on working. And it was so hot, and it was so discouraging. And finally, I just said, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And I began to sing Amazing Grace. And about that time, the sweetness of the Lord's Spirit came down upon me. And I started to feel lighthearted, and I didn't notice the sweat anymore, and I didn't notice the pain in my finger anymore. And all of a sudden, I began to feel my joy creeping back in. And just about that time, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, son, I know you're discouraged, but I want to tell you something. I've got a message for you. I want to tell you something that'll lift your spirits and make you feel better. What's that, Lord? Son, it's going to rain. Hallelujah! Japheth started to dance. About that time, the two in the back said, that's it. That's it. I've had enough. I've had enough. I thought the next generation coming up might have a little more sense. This is it. We're done. We're out of here. And they turn and they walk out. They could not bear the foolishness of preaching. They couldn't take one more second of it. It was driving them out of their minds. They said, let's go down to the road. I heard there's another church down here, and they have all kinds of seminars, and we get together and have cooking classes, and we just do all kinds of fun stuff, you know. And it's entertaining, and it's more fun. We're just going to go down there. That makes more sense. Surely God is smarter than this. Surely God is more reasonable than this. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? There is nothing new under the sun. You know, It doesn't discourage me. It doesn't discourage me as I get older and I see this body coming together. And I see the love between the brothers and sisters. I see the support of the real, true Christian body coming together. And I see the care and concern. I see people hanging on and lifting each other up, praying for each other. It doesn't discourage me like it did when I was younger.
Amen.
It's not as bad. If you hang in there, if you keep hanging in there, that sweet spirit will lift you back up. It'll make that old message seem brand new. It'll make it seem brand new. You know, Jesus was not reasonable. He was not reasonable. He was not a man who could be swayed by politics. And this was very frustrating to the people around him. Jesus would say to the Pharisees things like, "You're of your father, the devil." And as they walked away, Judas would be going, "Don't worry, he's just a little excited. He's young right now. Give him a little time. Don't kill him yet. You know, just wait. He'll come around. Judas was a very reasonable man. He cared about what people thought. He cared about what the religious leaders thought. He was part of the people who put their own interpretation on what to expect out of the new coming Savior. And he looked at the coming of the Messiah with his brain instead of with a heart of revelation. And he was deceived because of it. He wanted a God of his own making. He wanted one that would fit into the image that he was looking for. But Jesus was completely unreasonable. Satan said, "Look, what's the problem here? Why can't you just take it the easy way? You know, I'll give you all these, but you can have them all. I don't care. I don't love them anyway. Take them. I'll let you have them. Just do it my way. Come my way. Bow to me. It's just real simple. It just takes just a minute. Just bow yourself to me. Give in on the word. You know, I'll even give you the word here. I'll give you scriptures to work with. If you want to, you can come by the scriptures even. We just have to change the ones you're coming by. You know, it says they wouldn't let you dash your foot on a rock. I mean, come on, you can use that. But Jesus left Satan frustrated. And that spirit of frustration fuels the religious spirit. It fuels it. It catches it on fire. It's their version of the Holy Ghost. Because that fire burns in them. And when they look at you, they can't stand you. They can't stand your old-fashioned ways. You know, the fashions changed while Noah was preaching. The hairstyles came and went. The clothes came and went. Different things came and went, just like they are today. But the people who followed the message of that day stayed the same. Just like God stays the same. Unapologetically. And the reasonable people of the age look at it and say, "Why do you have to do that? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. We have science. We have politics. We have everything we need to cover you. We can give you a different covering. You sisters don't need your hair for a covering. Because we've got fashion and style. We can teach you not to be so subservient. We can show you and enlighten you. We can give you our version of revelation and show you that you'll be just fine if you cut your hair.
Oh my.
We've got women preachers that heal the sick. Come on over to this side and you'll see.
Oh my.
Just like they accused Noah. Japheth, why do you go to your daddy's church? You know he's crazy. He preaches the same thing every week. Why do you listen to that crazy old prophet? I mean, yeah, he kind of scared us at first when the message was new and it seemed, you know, well, maybe there's something to it. But it's been years. And it hasn't rained. But we're one day closer, aren't we? We're one day closer than we were yesterday, aren't we? Jezebel, her spirit alive and well, still reasoning with the people. You know, get what you want. Telling her husband, you can get what you want. There's other ways. There's other ways. We can kill that guy. We can destroy his character. We can talk him down. We can get a bunch of stories started about him and totally kill his influence. And then we can step in there and take over that big ministry and do whatever, you know, or whatever. Jezebel's alive and well. And her spirit is alive and well. Reasoning on the word. Where it's dangerous is where the believer, like Eve, gets reasonable. Gets out from underneath the right headship. Gets out of church order and quits listening to her pastor. Starts reasoning with the word and thinking, well, I can do this and I can do that. I don't understand why we don't do this. I'm tired of the same old thing every week. The preaching is getting old. It's getting boring. Let's see what this person has to say.
Come on.
And Satan has a match for everything that God has. He has his version. His version. Now let's skip ahead. Let's skip ahead for just a second. Let's go to the church age messengers. Let's talk about them for a minute. We're going to look at the power of the word with revelation and what it can do. Now you take one of the hardest ones. You take one of the most vile men. He could have been compared to Hitler in a way. And that's the Apostle Paul. Hunted down the brethren and killed them. Hunted them down. Stood there and held the coat while they stoned coats while they stoned Stephen. He was really worse than the ones that picked up the stones. Because he had authority. He actually could have stepped in and said, hold it. But he let all the worker bees throw the stones. He was a man of learning and authority. He was a puppet of Satan. Being used by Satan's reasoning. Looking for the wrong Messiah. His own image of the Messiah. He had an image of a warrior riding in and slaying all the Romans. That's what he was looking for. Jesus didn't fit the bill. Jesus was a heretic. He was unreasonable. So Paul, after his conversion, seeing the error of his ways, has to deal with the remorse. Has to deal with the guilt that he felt. And yet, despite that, he didn't make a legalistic, hateful, vengeful religion like the one he came from. Even though he was dealing with that guilt, looking at his life, looking at his failures, he didn't come up with a legalistic, hateful thing. He listened to God, and through the inspiration of God-breathed words that he put on paper and sent down, he established church order. He established the doctrine. He established a lot of things. All the apostles worked hard. They all went out and witnessed. They had all seen a risen Savior. They had all gotten over their fear. They had gotten the Holy Ghost. They had gone out and they were preaching the Word.
Amen.
But Paul was able to go through and by the hand of God was able to establish churches. And he was the messenger to the Ephesian age. And he was the pattern that we look to.
Amen.
If Paul preached it and you're preaching it, I'm okay with you. You know, if I want to check this man out, how far do I have to check him? By what Paul said. I have to look, is he turning us back to the faith of the Father? So the church was born, had its problems, but Paul was putting it in order. Satan was still rattled. He was still looking at this thing going, what is going on? Before we had Joshua marching around cities, walls falling, we had floods and we had fire from the heavens and we had blood in the water and I was finally getting to the point where I kind of understood how to deal with all that stuff. But what is this? You know, how do I deal with this? These people have got a fire in their heart and each one of them's like Joshua. What am I going to do with them? So Satan formulated his plan. He said, the problem here is the Word. It's the Word. It comes in so many forms. It comes in so many ways. But I've got to stop the Word. So with Irenaeus comes up in the second church age, and he's standing strong for the word. And he sees the beginning of that Babylonian religious spirit start to creep into the church. Satan says, here's my move. I sat back and I learned and I watched. I went after Paul. I even cut his head off. But that just made him stronger. So what I've got to do is I've got to keep them away from the fire. I got to keep them away from the living word. I've got to do anything I can to separate them from the living word. Now with people of reason, it's easy. Because who's going to stand and listen to somebody like Wes Willis or somebody like Donnie Reagan? There's NFL quarterbacks, there's bankers, there's businessmen, there's scientists, there's lawyers and doctors among these people. Most of them will reason above that, and the foolishness of preaching will be lost on them.
Right.
But God was wrong. But Satan was wrong. Because among those people, they were willing to humble themselves and say, I'll take the word no matter how it comes. You want to send it through a little uneducated Kentuckian that barely write his name to where we can read it? Send it. I'll take it. I want it however it comes. I want it. The heart of a true believer yearns for it, seeks after it, longs for it, prays for it, recognizes it when it comes. Between Irenaeus and St. Martin, you've got the Nicene Council moves in. Satan says, okay, I've got to get control over this. I've got to stop the word. So the first thing I've got to do is I've got to take the word away from the common man.
Yeah.
Got to take it away from the common man. Irenaeus is fighting it. Martin is fighting it. Satan's doing everything he can. Satan came to Martin in person and tried to sway him.
Yeah.
And couldn't do it because the fire of the Holy Ghost was burning in him. And he couldn't go up against this messenger of this age. So he went, tried to go around him. Let's incorporate government. Let's do away with Jesus Christ first. We've got to split him off and make him a third person. We've got to separate the Holy Ghost from God, Jesus from God. We've got to make it three people. We've got to separate it off to the side. We've got to tell the people that they can't understand God. Only the ministry can. We've got to slip in. And Satan's plan was pulled off marvelously. It was going great. Everything was going really good for Satan. The church came in and took over. Men started putting men in charge. Instead of God putting God called men in charge. It became a governmental institution. It became a thing that started infiltrating the whole world. The Catholic Church had such immense power that they could control the kingdoms of the world. They could tell the king what to do. It was a very, very dark age. None of the people knew what the scripture said. The church was coming in and it was like the mafia. The men who were running it were religious wise guys. Religious mobsters. And that's what they were. So we look at it and they're taking the power from the people. They're reigning over the people. They're telling them lies. Telling them, do you want your mother to suffer in purgatory?
Yeah.
You know, they're down there gouging her eyes out right now. They're down there burning her over a fire right now. There's demons whipping her and gnashing on her with teeth. And you're sitting here doing nothing. If you'll just pay this indulgence, then we'll let her out of purgatory.
Oh my. Yeah.
My. And you say, Brother Wes, that's crazy. That's not in the Bible. They didn't have the Bible. They were at the mercy. They're at the mercy of this horrible beast. They're at the mercy of it. They were blind to it. They were in the darkest age of religion that ever existed on this earth until today. And it was ugly, and it was fierce, and it was horrible. And there was plagues upon the earth. It was a terrible time. And there was a little German monk who was called by God in a lightning storm. His name was Luther. Luther was not satisfied. He had access to the scriptures. And Luther was not satisfied. His hunger was not filled. And his joy was not complete. And he saw the sadness and the defilement of his sin-sick situation. And this man would lay out in the snow on his face and pray. He was trying to sacrifice. He was trying to show God, look, I'm serious. He was trying to achieve holiness in his life. He was trying to take his life and lay it before God and submit before God a holy life that God could accept. And God wouldn't accept it. His monk brothers would have to pick him up out of the snow, almost dead, and take him in and warm him up and revive him back. Because he would lay in there, lay in the snow face first. He would take a whip and whip his flesh with it until it was nothing but blood. And seeking God, he would do all these things that the church required. Go and touch this relic, kiss this relic, crawl up these steps. You all know about it. You've heard the message. You've probably seen the movie back in the library. He was doing all these things because there was this emptiness. There was this emptiness.
Amen.
He had read over these scriptures. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. How many years did he read right over that and the revelation didn't strike it? How many years did he read over Galatians 3:11? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for they shall live by faith. How many times did he read right past that as he was reading the scriptures, as he was copying manuscripts? How many times did he read by Hebrews 10:38? Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How many times did he read, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith? And then one day God said, okay, now it's time.
Amen.
Now it's time. I'm going to come down, Luther, and I'm going to strike your heart with revelation. And the word is going to come through this written scripture and visit you. How many remember the first time the word came and visited you and you recognized it as being alive? How many times? How many different ways? If we had all everybody stand up tonight and testify, there'd be so many ways. Through the preaching of the word, Brother Donnie stood right here and he was talking about idolatry and he pointed right back there to me. He pointed straight at me under the anointing and broke the power of Satan over my life. The revelation has struck that word. The living word came through the mouth of a man and set me free. And it gets kind of frustrating because you want that every minute of every day. You're automatically an addict. You want it every minute of every day, and you're not happy without it. But Luther, I can just see him. I can just see him now. I'm not to the point where I deserve salvation yet. I've not whipped myself enough. I've not subjected myself enough. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. My brothers tell me I'm holy. Every time they talk about how holy a monk I am, it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
They say, what a good Christian Luther is. I wish we could all be like Luther. And I'm a dog. And I'm lost. And I don't know salvation, true salvation. I've not been able to achieve perfection. The desire is there. I just can't achieve it. And I'm trying. The guilt is overwhelming me. The more they tell me I'm great, the more I want to whip myself. The more they tell me I'm doing good, the more that I want to lay in the snow and pray. I've embraced all the things of the church. I'll go into a room for days and starve myself until I'm almost dead. And I just can't find that piece that's missing. And God said, wait a minute, read that again.
Right, amen.
All of a sudden it became bold print. The just shall live by faith. And God said, okay, Luther, here's what it means. Boom. And it struck.
Praise the Lord.
Now the Catholic mafia was in full control of the church. Satan was fat and happy. He was sitting back on his throne in hell. And all of a sudden he hears a rumble. He's like, what's going on? What's happening? There's this monk up there. Boom. What's that? Boom. He's nailing his thesis to the church door. Boom. Why am I hearing it? Why am I hearing it all the way down here? He figured it out. He's got faith. What? Like the old prophets? Yeah. He's had a conversion. Like who? Like Paul. Well, send the Babylonian religious spirit over there right now. Too late. He kicked him out. He's already been there. We've tried everything. You need to tell us what to do, Satan. Well, we'll kill him. We'll chase him down and kill him. We've got the entire mafia at our disposal. We've got the whole world organized under our religious scheme. The Babylonian spirit is in full control of everybody but that one guy. Get him. Go get him. God said, no, you're not going to touch him. You're not going to touch him. The darkest reign Satan had ever had, the tightest grip he'd ever had on the entire earth at one time, his kingdom at its peak up until that time, completely broken by a few words that a simple monk grabbed a hold of with the power of the Holy Ghost. The just shall live by faith. And Satan's kingdom came down. Boom. It was split. It was split. People were freed from the abomination of that great whore. They were freed. For the first time, the common man was reading the Bible with his own eyes. And he was saying, man, those monks used to say this and they used to say that. And they get, God called men starting to spring up and preach the word. Shepherd boys that knew more about the scripture than the priests down at the church. God's kingdom was taken off. We were heading towards the last church age. Of course, Wesley brought in sanctification. Hair lift the devil one more time. And then we come to this age. Satan said, can't we get these guys to reason on the word? And the demons are sitting around going, no, they're unreasonable. They're totally unreasonable. Satan goes, well, send their families after them. Pit brother against brother. Mother against daughter. Destroy their homes. Do everything you can to discourage them. Make it hard on them. Get people to make fun of them. All we've got to do is change the fashion a little bit. When they don't go with us, everybody's going to turn on them. It's so easy for us to discourage them, to beat them down, to run them underfoot. It's so easy for us to do that. Get to work. Try it.
Reach it, bro.
But Satan, you don't understand. They've got the word now. Which word? You talking about the scriptures? Well, sometimes. What do you mean sometimes? Well, sometimes it just comes through a milkmaid. Sometimes it comes through a mailman. What do you mean? They've got the living word. You come up on some guy that looks like a complete pushover, and he'll roll back all the demons within a square mile. With one little word. Satan's kingdom is under assault. And they're trying to regroup. They're trying to figure it out. What do we do? But the plan can't change. Satan is not a creator. He's really, you know, compared to God, he's nothing. And compared to God's people, he's nothing. He's just a bluff. I mean, if you think about the Israelites, let's go back, let's jump back for a minute. If you think about the Israelites, they come up there and they send spies into the land. What was it that defeated them? You've heard this story 1,000 times, but have you ever really thought, why in the world would they doubt God at this point? They had seen the plagues. They had seen the pillar of fire. They had seen all these miracles. You just go down a list, miracle after miracle and miracle. And you think, well, why? Why then would they go into the land and come out? It's because they thought, once he got us out of Egypt, wasn't it supposed to be free and easy then? Here we get to the land, we're all excited about it, we go in there and guess what's there? Giants. I'm like, gee, thanks God. Is this part of the trick?
Yeah. Reaching up.
You know, they start to question, yeah, I really don't feel holy enough to deserve this blessing. You know, I've been questioning God a little bit. I almost joined the rebels that stood up to Moses. I know I don't deserve it, so it doesn't seem right that he's promised me this land. There's got to be a trick to this. There's something about it. He's going to take us in there and kill us, is what he's going to do. These giants are going to run over us like we're grasshoppers. I just don't get it, God. I don't get it. So they look at it and they start reasoning. Satan goes, yeah, that's right. That's right. What's the trick? What's the catch? What's God up to? What's he really up to? Well, you got Jacob, and you got, you know, his faith to contend with. Kind of, you know, maybe he's not as sinful as I am. Maybe he'll be one of the ones that survives when they fight the giants, but I'll get killed. You know, what's the loss? I'm kind of scared of what the loss might be. These were scary people. And God's told them the whole time, don't be afraid. This is my promise. I've promised you this. Amen. All you got to do is go in and take it. Amen. All you got to do, you're looking at yourself. You're not looking at my promise.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen.
Why aren't you looking at what I promised you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
They didn't have the Holy Ghost, though. They didn't have what we've got.
Amen.
So why do we sometimes take our eyes off of it? Why do we miss the Word? How can a Holy Ghost-filled Christian miss the Word? It's usually when we grab hold of fear. It's usually when we abandon faith. But fear is usually the first thing that starts stepping on faith.
Amen.
A word will come before you like cancer. You're like, well, does God really love me? Said, I know his word says this, but we're going to, but I feel the promise slipping out of my hand because I'm afraid that maybe it isn't for me.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And you're no different than the Israelites who are like, we're right here at the promised land and we have the promise, but I feel it slipping away from me because of my fear. That's a sad place to be. That's a sad place to be. That's why I love the way this body works so much. We can encourage each other so much. You got some people who hate it, and all they hear is it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. They get upset and they leave. Because they don't understand God's plan or his provision. They don't have a revelation. And you can't blame them if they don't have a revelation. I mean, maybe you can blame them for not seeking it. But there's different ways that the word comes. There's different ways we can recognize it. There's different ways when it comes on the scene. But when it does, we can't reject it.
Amen.
We have to hold on to it with everything we got.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, one of my favorite stories, and this reminds me of the first time the Word spoke to me and I saw God alive in the Scripture, talking to me through the Scripture. I was in a discouraging place in my life. I was working in a very horrible, horrible building at Eastman where it was about 120 degrees. It was extremely discouraging. When you woke up in the morning and you realized you're awake and it was time to go to work, you just groaned. Oh no, I've got to get up and go. You go in there, I was pulling wire that was 10 pounds per foot. It was about this big around. The heat was extreme. It was extremely discouraging. The Lord had just begun to deal with me. I was praying with all my heart. I was reading the Scriptures. I was seeking the Lord. And I would go, we would take turns, and every so often it would come your turn and you could take 15 minutes and go into the restroom where there was an air conditioner and just get cooled off for a few minutes. And so I went into the restroom there and I was reading and I was so discouraged and I was on a kind of a pity party and I said, Lord, do you even see me? Do you even know I'm here? You know, what is the purpose in all of this? You know, and I was feeling sorry for myself. I was a little bit down. And I came upon this scripture. I said, I'm just going to read the word and shut up. I'm going to quit whining. So I read John 1, verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Philip didn't debate with him. He didn't start trying to prove anything. He just said, Look, come on and see.
Amen.
He left the job up to God. He left the revelation up to God. I saw a sign one time at a service center where you buy parts and stuff for heat and air, and it said, arguing with a service technician is like wrestling with a pig in mud. After you do it long enough, you eventually realize they like it. Well, it's the same with somebody who wants to debate. That's really all they're after, is more debate. It's just about the debate. So he said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael probably got took back a little bit. He's like, what in the world? This is strange. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Revelation broke forth in my heart.
Amen.
I knew right then I wasn't alone. I knew right then in that dark, dirty hole in the middle of Eastman, God was looking at me.
Right.
And he was hearing my prayer.
Right. Yes.
And he thought enough of me to come down and encourage me.
Yes.
I had a spell right there in that restroom. I had a spell. I went over to the mirror and I looked into my eyes in the mirror and I couldn't contain myself. It was like I was seeing something different.
Amen.
And then I went on to read. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Revelation had hit this boy's heart. Revelation had overcome him. He knew there was no way that this man standing before him saw him under that fig tree, his secret place. He knew nobody knew he was in there under that fig tree. And just as the thought maybe entered Nathanael's mind, I wonder if he knows I was under the fig tree, he might have saw me, but does he know what I was praying about? Just as that thought maybe started to creep into his mind, because Satan was there, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Is that all it takes, Nathanael? Just for me to give you that one revelation? Nathanael would have probably went, Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Nobody could have known that, Lord. Thou shalt see greater things than this. And just as that Satan was winding up for his pitch, Jesus said, And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Amen.
I would say that Nathanael was never the same after that, until he got the Holy Ghost. And it changed him completely, completed him.
Amen.
Because at that point right there, he knew that God not only saw him, but knew what he was thinking, knew what he was pondering on. He was probably wondering, what was that vision that Jacob saw? What was that all about?
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
What was it all about?
Amen.
Only God would know. So now this was one of God's men. And all it took was a word from God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's all it took. That's why Satan really can't do anything with us. We have to remember. We have to call to each other's remembrance what God has done. We have to testify. We have to lift each other up. We have to pray for each other. We have to remind each other so that we don't forget. So it doesn't slip out of our grasp the revelation He's given us, what He's shown us, the grace that He's poured out on us, the forgiveness that He's given us. We have to quit looking at not that we need to quit trying not to fail. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we turn grace into disgrace. I make the preacher's apology here for you. But just, we have to know that that's not what we're to look at. We're to stand in faith.
Amen.
and not let Satan use arguments like that against us. We have to stand strong for each other. And this body is coming. And like I said, we're one day closer, saints. We're one day closer. The time is short. We're drawn upon the coming of the Lord. And we have to call to our remembrance constantly the revelation that He's given us. And we have to not get lazy and quit seeking Him. And we have to search for Him in the many ways that He comes. In fellowship, one of the first times I saw Him in the flesh was Darren Littleton. I was praying about something in the truck at work that nobody knew anything about. I step out. I walk over to Darren. He starts talking to me. And all of a sudden, and the only way I can describe this is to just tell you, it was Jesus talking to me. And Darren had no idea that it was even happening. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ talking to me. It was Jesus that delivered me sitting right back there. It was the living Word. It was God coming to me in different ways and at different times. But it was Him, and I recognized Him. I thank God for eyes that can see, because I used to be a blind man.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's so simple the way that God reveals Himself that it does seem foolish to a scientific age, to a learned age. I don't blame them. I see the atheists argue against what we believe. I see the people pulling away from the message. I understand mentally what they're saying. I can actually sympathize on some things a little bit if I was only coming from here. Because without revelation, you're lost. You're undone. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not got a chance. Without a desperation that causes you to come after God with everything you got, you'll never find Him. You have to seek Him.
Amen.
Brother Branham said this in Presuming. But what is it? It's a promise. God made the promise. Let's stay with it. God promised it. No matter. You've got to have a battle. If everything comes lazy, why you're... What are you overcoming?
Amen.
They overcome by the Word of God. And their testimony, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ. You've got to overcome something. And you've got to have some obstacles. And people that different and fuss with you and tell you you're holy rollers and things, that's put before you. It's a trial. It's a trial. This is where the Israelites fell off the wagon. God said, hey, I'm giving you this promised land. But, you know, while you get it, you're going to get some training. Okay?
Yeah.
You just entered an army.
Yeah. Amen.
Not a resort.
Amen.
This is a place of training. Because I need to conform you. I need to mold you into my image. Because, you see, you are me. You're bone of my bone, you're flesh of my flesh, bride.
Amen.
I've got to conform you. You're bone of my bone, you're flesh of my flesh.
Amen.
You've got to meet the image. You've got to be shaped. You've got to be molded.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy.
Amen.
It's going to break your heart. It's going to hurt you. You're going to have to walk through a world of flesh and death. You're going to have your hearts broken. But I'm going to keep you. And I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'll be with you. Even in you. I'm not a mean drill sergeant making you do push-ups. I'm there with you in the mud doing the push-ups too. You're about to graduate. I've got you almost ready. I'm coming. The promise has been made.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Sorry. You have some obstacles and people that differ and fuss with you and tell you you're holy rollers and things. That's put before you. It's a trial. If you haven't got that, then you're not even in the battle. Don't you thank God that you're in the battle? It might not be hard to say tomorrow when you're sitting at the hospital. But aren't you glad that you're in the battle? What did you join the church? What did you join the army and get training for? To lay around, strut up and down the streets and show off? That's the way some Christians act. That we want to be looked up to. You ain't going to be looked up to. You're going to be looked down on. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Pick up the sword. Cut everything free from you. And keep going on. Brother Donnie's been preaching on the Word. He's been trying to, you know, God has been trying to get us to see. He's been revealing Himself to us as the living Word. The message of God to His bride, to His people. He's opening our ears. He's opening our eyes. He's dropping revelation into our hearts, into our souls. You are all experiencing a situation where your soul is screaming out for holiness and your flesh is fighting it with everything that it's got. We face it every day. But this flesh is going to come under subjection. And it's going to be conformed. We're going to make mistakes. We have to be forgiving. We have to forgive each other. We have to pray for each other. We have to love each other. It says they're going to know us by our love one for another. I want to be known by that. Every time you face a trial, the devil's going to get right in your face and he's going to tell you everything you've ever done wrong. He's going to push you. He's going to punish you. He's going to beat you down. He's going to try everything in the world. And all you got to do is say, well, Satan, that just proves how great my God is because he's forgiven me. He doesn't even care. It's forgotten. It's been forgiven and it's been forgotten. He doesn't care about that anymore because he's already thrown it away. Don't let Satan beat you down to where you can't pray for your sister or where you can't pray for your brother. Don't let him do it. That is how he defeats us. And with those failures by us, he can turn around and add failure to failure and heap it upon him and cause discouragement to come into the church like a tide, to work its way in like a flood. But if we'll stop laying down for it, we'll stop listening to his accusations, and we will embrace the grace and the forgiveness that God has given us. Amen. And we will not reject his word. Because when he says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, and you reject that, how is that different than rejecting anything else in the Word? Now I'm talking to the true believers. That's all I'm talking to here. The Word is the most powerful thing. The Word, and it changes us. It is the thing that is going to finish Satan off once and for all. I've seen the Word push Satan back. I'm telling you, it can do it. It can do it in your life. I've seen children push Satan back. I've seen children, young women, young men, who were almost overcome, who were almost grabbed by the tide of the world and almost washed out. I've seen them take hold of the Word and the Lord lift them up and save them. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the power of the Holy Ghost change lives. I know what He's done for me. I'm guilty of letting Satan beat me down, though, and wallow me around in my mistakes. I'm guilty of it, just as most of you all are, too, I'm sure. But that weakens us. It makes us more powerful. It allows Satan to walk in here and sit on just about every pew with every family that sits in here because we let him do it. We don't stand up to him. We don't take hold of what God's done for us. And we don't trust God. You have to trust God to believe He's forgiven you. The Israelites did not trust Him. That's where they failed. He said, go in and take it. And they said, we don't trust you. Those giants will kill us. like a kid standing on the edge of the pool. Come on and jump, honey. Come on and jump. The one that trusts Daddy will jump. When this word takes full root in us, and we recognize the power of this word, then you're going to see more examples where Christians speak and something happens. Because we did come from God, and we are going back. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with" what? "With the spirit of his mouth." Yeah. What is it that comes out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Words.
Amen.
Satan's going to be consumed. It's not going to be us putting on helmets and picking up guns and fighting and blood and gore. And finally Satan gets whipped good enough to where the angels can finally drag him and throw him in the pit. It's going to be the word of God. And it's going to be over. That's how we're winning. That's how we're winning today. The just shall live by faith changed the world. Changed the world. It blazed a path for Wesley to come with sanctification. Wesley couldn't have come with sanctification if Luther had not gotten this revelation, if God had not had mercy and grace on that age and given him that revelation and protected him and got the word to the common man to where he could stand against the devil on his own two feet. It paved the way for the seventh church age eventually to come. There was people who turned against Luther and went back to the church because it's more comfortable. It's always more comfortable back in the barracks than it is on the front line. Malachi 4, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." It's going to rain. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." We have been turned back to the word that Paul brought.
Amen.
We've been brought back to the apostolic faith.
Yes.
Satan cannot stop us. We're unstoppable.
Amen.
The bride of Christ is waiting and ready and making herself ready.
Amen.
And the people are falling away. The message came forth. And the ark is getting ready to be sealed. And they're leaving by the droves because Satan is so reasonable. Satan is so reasonable. We've all faced it. Bosses and family and friends who don't understand. Because it has become so common. It has become so common to look at the Word of God and write it off and reason it away. It has become so common that it's in the pulpits. It's so common that that the Babylonian spirit has come again in a different way. And infiltrated the religious world. The Babylonian spirit is in full control of most of the preachers in the whole world. Who compromise on the word. Who explain it away. Who reason it away. Who don't want to be unreasonable like their Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be the most unreasonable man in the world. I want people to look at me and say, "He is crazy. What is he thinking?" I want them to lie behind my back. I want them to lie and say, he's terrible to his wife. He won't let her cut her hair. He makes her wear those dresses. His kids can't do nothing. I want them to say all of that. I want to be the most unreasonable guy that they've ever run into. I want to submit to the living word so much that Satan flees. And see, that's something that most people miss. He flees. Why does he flee? Why didn't he just why didn't it say, well, if you resist the devil, he'll get discouraged and mope away? Why does he flee? Because it causes him pain. It causes him grief. When you take hold of the word and you grip it with everything you got, and Satan is assailing you, and he's throwing every temptation he can at you, and he's trying every way in the world to get you to trip, and he hits you over and over and over until he finds that weak spot. And then he hits you there every time he gets a chance. Every time you forget and get a little weak, get a little forgetful, you're thinking about something else, you're preoccupied with a death in the family or something, he'll come and smack you with that because you're not ready for it. He'll come over and over and over again. And then when you submit to God, though, what happens? Why does he flee? You're inflicting damage on the kingdom of hell. You're living beneath your privileges. You're living beneath your privileges. Many, many are. Not everybody. Thank God. I've had lots of examples to look to. Great men and women of God. Prayer warriors. People who never give up. They're sitting all around us tonight. I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged when I come to this church. I know people who have come and they got discouraged because they just couldn't see it. They didn't understand the value of this revelation. They didn't understand the position of this prophet that came in this last day. You know, when I was introduced to the message, don't take this the wrong way, but I did not care about Brother Branham. He was a sidebar to me. I honestly didn't even think about him. I was listening to the words of his sermons, and I was taking them to the Bible. I went through the websites that claimed him to be a false prophet, that claimed that this was a cult. I went through all of that. I dug through all of it. I started studying it out. It didn't trip me. It just helped me discover that they were lying about this man. It helped me to see, wait a minute, this is the word he's preaching. This is the truth. Revelation began to come. Revelation upon revelation upon revelation. Word upon word. It began to build and grow inside of me. I began to recognize Christ when he would speak to me from the pulpit. I began to recognize the word as it would come out of the Bible and hit me right in the heart. I began to see these things and it excited me and it drove me. It drove me to want to serve him even more.
Amen. Amen.
And there is not a more discouraging ministry in the world than the ministry that backs up the truth and says what Paul says to the ministers. It can be so discouraging. Not at this church. Thank God you all are holding your ground and you're supporting the ministry. Because without the order, you've lost what Paul taught.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there anybody else here that wants to be unreasonable? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to drag this on, but can you imagine how frustrating it is for the devil? Can you imagine how he felt? You can start to understand the anger of the Pharisees. They're like, hey, the men love this guy. We could put him in the front of this thing and we could really get it going. We might even be able to run Rome out of here. They're getting a little shaky anyway. It must have been so frustrating. But that aspect I don't want you to ever forget is that somehow we're causing that devil pain when we resist him and we submit to God. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. I want to thank you all for all the support you've given me and my family. My mother-in-law right now is suffering with cancer, and the doctors have written her off. And she's fighting an infection right now and not producing any white blood cells. Many of you all are praying. She's improved a little bit today. She's feeling a little bit better, but the white blood cells have not come up I'm sitting in front of the army of God tonight, and I know that God has the last say. They've given us a timeline on her life. Now, whether they're right or wrong, that's in God's hands. He sets the appointment, and whatever His will is, I'm fine with that. I've grown to love this woman. Anybody that's ever had a mother-in-law and has had her for several years knows that sometimes it starts out a little rocky, because she wants her daughter to be happy, and she wants everything for her daughter, and it might get a little bit of tension between you and her. And it started that way with her and I. I remember she was pretty rough on me when I was younger, when we first got married. And she didn't understand me very well, and I didn't understand her. Her being from Massachusetts made it even worse. And but I love that woman with my whole heart. She left the Catholic Church. She was able to make that step. When she found out she was sick, she called for the elders of the church she goes to come and anoint her with prayer. She wanted the whole family and her church to be there and anoint her with oil and pray. And she's a believer. To what level? It's between her and God. But she's a believer. And I know I can count on you all to pray for her. But see, this isn't just a prayer request. This is part of the word tonight. Because I know that no matter what Satan says to me to make me doubt myself, I know that God hears our prayers. I know that God has the last say. And if she only has 3 to 6 months with us, I want those 3 to 6 months. I don't want this infection to take her out. And so I'm rebuking Satan tonight, and I know that you're going to join in with me, and I know you're going to agree with me on that. And that I, you know, and even if that is not the way God wants it, I'm fine with that too. Because I know that one way or another, that woman has given me a drink of cold water, and I know one way or another I'll see her again.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, saints of God, we need to recognize the battle. And we need to take our part. And we need to tell each other the truth, because there's power in confession. And when we're struggling with something, we need to quit pushing it under the surface and hiding it and trying to look all holy. And we need to go to somebody and get some help. There are so many people living defeated lives because the devil knows your secret. He knows what you've got in that one little room. And he's keeping you defeated. And he's getting this army trudged down in mud to where it can't move like it should. So get rid of your secret. Get rid of it. He hits you right between the eyes with it every time you pray. He hits you right between the eyes with it every time that somebody gets sick and you want to pray for them. He tries to discourage you because you come into church. And I was telling the kids something about this the other night. You got a toothache. You got a spiritual toothache. Nobody can see that anything's wrong. Nobody knows that anything's going on, but you're aching. And the harder the preacher preaches, the worse it hurts. You got to pull that thing. You got to get it out. You got to defeat Satan by submitting to God. Brother Donnie, what he's been preaching is so beautiful. When he went to John 1:1, that has been the cornerstone verse of my life. That is what has fueled my ability, what God used to open my eyes to fuel the ability to accept the Word. When he told me he was the Word, it blew me away. It just absolutely blew me away. I said, "You are the Word." And then when it came to life to me, it changed everything. It absolutely changed everything. And it can do that for anybody that wants it. That desire is God working inside of you. And the Word will give you the power to recognize Satan's lies and to back him off. Let's stand. Musicians, if you'd like to come. I know this was short and simple. And I'm not apologizing for that. All I can do is be the vessel and give you what God gave me. And I just have to say, you know, people may misunderstand this and take me to be a man follower. I'm not. If Brother Donnie got off the Word, I tell you, I'd be one of the first ones to get out. Right. Okay? I'm not a man follower. But we are so blessed to have the gifts that we have in this church. I found deliverance and truth here. I did. I found a place where I come and a man would tell me it's going to rain. And I can't wait to shout about it every time he does.
Praise the Lord.
See the faith of the fathers. I do. I know we're coming close. I know we're coming close. One last thing, and then I'll close in prayer. We've got all kinds of animals at our house. We experiment with everything. We even got a goat the other day. I'm still wishing we hadn't done that. But we have some chickens out in the back. And those chickens, we have 10 altogether. And they were laying about 5 or 6 eggs a day. And all of a sudden, we went out there and there wasn't hardly any eggs. And I was finding little pieces of shell. And it turned out they were eating their own eggs. I thought that was kind of disturbing myself. It kind of bothered me a little bit. And then I noticed that they run around squawking and pecking at each other all the time. And, you know, they're just... I always like chicken. To eat it, that is. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you a Baptist, you know. An eagle will eat a chicken. but I thought, what a reprehensible creature that is. They make a lot of noise, and they kill each other. They peck each other to death. They chase each other. They mistreat each other. They're just awful. They're just awful. And I thought, you know, it's so funny that Brother Branham related that to the denominations, because I came from there, and that's exactly what it's like. And they do kill their young before they're ever born. They fill them full of lies. I guess in closing, the one thing I'd like to say is you really need to take stock in how fortunate you are that God has placed you where He has. You need to thank God that you hear the truth. I do not encourage you to go out there and go to another church to find out how bad it is. I don't. There was a famous minister whose wife came out the other day. A friend of mine was telling me about this. And she said, the way to make God happy is to first stop everything you're doing and just make yourself happy. Just do everything you can. Just focus on yourself. Make yourself completely happy. And that brother, he goes, boy, that'd make a weird marriage, wouldn't it? If you never cared about your groom's happiness, never looked at what he wanted, you never thought about what he wanted. And I thought, wow, what a picture of the denomination. She summed it all up and didn't even know it. They just want to make themselves happy. They want to think about the word the way they want to think about it. And that's people with a denominational spirit. I hope you're in here tonight and you hear it and you realize it. It wakes you up. But you want to hear what you want to hear. You want to listen to the parts you want to listen to. You only want the part that makes you happy. And you don't care what the groom thinks. That's a sad condition. But that's where it's all at. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you so much, Lord, first of all, for everything that you've done for us, Lord. There's no way we can conceive of it and realize it all at once. There's no way we can see you in the height of your greatness the way that we want to. We see pieces of it as you reveal yourself, Lord. You're so beautiful. And your love is beyond anything we can ever measure or understand. And your care for us and the way you train us and the way you reveal yourself to us, Lord, is so special. And we just ask tonight, Lord, most of all, that you give us hearts that are open to you, to where we can receive your truth, to where we can take our training and we see our trials as part of becoming you. Lord, we just want to be one with you. We want to see your coming again. And Lord, we know that that's soon. And I just want to thank you for this place, Lord. I want to thank you for our pastor. I want to thank you for a man that stands for the truth. I can't thank you enough, Lord. I know people don't understand. I know they fall away. I understand that. You said that it was coming. We expected it. It hurts, though, when we see it. But even though it may hurt, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because we see your word at work. And we know that everything's being placed. Lord, I ask that you bless each one of the people here tonight, that you help them, Lord, that you keep them safe as they go home, that you bring us together again safely, if it be your will, Lord, for us to stay here another day. I ask you to bless our brother tomorrow morning as he comes and brings the word. Lord, we look so forward to what you've got to say to us. We just can't wait, Father. I love you, Father, with all my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This might seem a little fast and a little out of place, but would you play Old Time Religion? Just play Old Time Religion. The world hates it. The world hates it. They hate it. They hate us for being holy rollers. They can't stand us because we don't cut our hair and we wear dresses and we don't wear shorts. But I love it. I love the Word. I love the Revelation. I love the messenger who came and brought us back to the truth. I love a church with saints of God that stand for the truth and are unashamed. God bless you.
bless you, saints.
God bless you, saints. You can go in the fear of the Lord. I love you all so much. I just don't want to leave. I love you all so much. Brother Darrell told me to enjoy the anointing, and I do, but I just enjoy you all too. God bless you all. Good night.